Back in 1977, the Portland Mavericks were playing, and our current guest, Rob Nelson, was sitting in the bullpen with former Yankees pitcher Jim Bouton. And Nelson shared his idea for a shredded bubble gum as an alternative to chewing tobacco for athletes. And Big League Chew was born. And Rob Nelson, former left-hander, joins us now. I guess he's still a left-hander, but he joins us now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and Rob is on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Rob, thanks so much for taking some time with us. How are you doing?
Hey, my pleasure. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
Rob, I spent countless hours of my life sitting in a bullpen, and the best ideas that I came up with are where we're going to have a beer after the game. You came up with an enterprise. That is an unreal story. And I also know this, like being a kid, if I didn't have Big League Chew in my bat bag, I felt like I was ill-prepared for the game. I mean, did you realize at the time what you were stumbling upon?
You know, I really didn't. It was, my dad used to call it lightning in a pouch. The whole thing was so improbable. It just happened. I mean, I was a middle school teacher playing winter ball overseas, just hanging on playing single A ball. I was, you know, 26 years old, 27 years old, still playing low A baseball. So I had a lot of time in the bullpen because I wasn't pitching that much. But no, it was a surprise to me. In fact, the first contract we had that Jim negotiated with Wrigley was a 3-year deal. They thought it would be a cute novelty.
So, all right, the first thing that you, we'll get into how this idea popped into your mind and the moment it happened and all that stuff. But when you came up with this idea, did you realize that the outcome of it was that kids are going to be trying to figure out how much of it they can fit into their mouth at once?
Well, kind of had an inkling with that. I mean, I made the first batch, and we just stuffed it as much in our mouth as we could. So that was kind of a haringer of what was to come. I mean, the whole thing is preposterous, let's face it.
Yeah, because that's what I did in Little League Baseball. I'd put half of it in my mouth, and I'd go, I probably fit in more. And then by the time it was over, it was all gone.
A
pouch of Big League Chew never lasted more than 2 hours with me.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, Rob, I want to go back to you. You mentioned you made the first batch. Tell us how you found a way to make your own gum.
Well, I don't know how much time we have, but the quick story is...
All the time in the world.
One of the bat boys on the Mavericks, Todd Field, who's become a writer-director in Hollywood, really creative kid, he's the one who used to chop up licorice and put it in a Red Man pouch. And I said, Todd, what are you doing? He says, relax, Rob. It's just licorice. And it was maybe 2-3 months later when I thought, no, it shouldn't be licorice. It needs to be bubblegum. Going way back to when I was 11 or 12 years old, I was a huge Nellie Fox fan because my nickname was Nellie. And if you remember the Nellie Fox bubblegum card, he always had that thick handle bat you could almost hit with either end and just a big wad of Red Man in his mouth. And so he had the look. So when I was 11, I wanted to look like the real Nellie. So I was chewing bubblegum at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning for an 11 o'clock game. You know, I just knew looking good meant a lot as an 11-year-old. So that's the long story. It goes way back then. But in terms of how I found a company that could make it, just I'm reading People magazine, and there's a small company in Arlington, Texas, that created a do-it-your-own bubblegum kit. I think I'm the only guy who ever bought anything from that company. I can't find them. Nobody's ever contacted me from that company wanting a piece of my royalties or something. It's just never happened. But I got two cases of the stuff, and it was quite terrific that – hold on 1 second. Decline. Okay. You still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. Decline that phone call. This is
it's probably
important.
That other company now.
Yeah, they want
– Yeah, that would be funny. But so we go to Todd Field's kitchen, Mrs. Fields, whose name is Candy Field. I mean, what are the odds of that? We go to Candy Field's kitchen, and I have these containers, and I remember them. They were like dinner rolls. It was like an aluminum can at the top, and you peeled the can off, and I threw it into a big bowl, and it looked like brownies when I put it on a sheet, and we baked it. And then I used a round pizza knife to shred the thing to give it the look. I found a small ad agency in Portland to make a design for me. We had a picture of Jim Bouton on the front that said, Big League Chew Bubblegum, best I ever tried. I mean, it was just absolutely by the seat of our pants. You got to remember, I was a middle school teacher. My undergrad degree was in philosophy. I didn't know anything about this stuff. It's not like I was Mr. Wonka in the factory. it didn't happen that way. So at the time, I'm coaching at Portland State after my Maverick baseball life was over. And I brought the gum down to the stadium, same ballpark the Mavs used to play in, and I gave it to the guys, and they were just kind as could be. I mean, let's face it, I'm their pitching coach, so they don't want to make me angry. And everybody to a guy said, you know, Rob, this is a really great idea. Nobody said this is really great gum, because it was dreadful stuff. Really. That's how it happened. It was handmade, and Bouton said, look, Rob, it doesn't matter. As long as I can show them something, I think we'll find a company who will take a nibble. And, of course, Jim was right.
How quickly did it take for you to realize, okay, this is my full-time job now. I'm done with this teaching stuff.
Well, it's interesting. It was, you know, the summer of 77 when we put it all together. Jim went out pounding the pavement. I went back overseas. I went back to Cape Town to play some baseball in South Africa. And then I got to work in advertising with the Jugs Pitching Machine Company. So it was just kind of a back burner kind of thing until Jim called me and he said, well, we found a company. It's amazing how the pieces fell together, because I didn't make the Mavs when I went out there. If you've seen the documentary, The Battered Bastards of Baseball, anybody could try out for the Mavs, and everybody did. So I didn't make the team in the spring of 75. But I asked Bing Russell if I could throw BP and sell tickets on the phone and do anything I could to stay there, because I didn't want to go back to New York and just give up on my dream of being a minor league baseball player. And then I came up with an idea to have a baseball day camp at one of the public parks and called it the Little Maverick Baseball School. Bing Russell loved that idea. He allowed me to use the players during the day. The guys who played at night were working for me during the day at Little Mavs. The way I met Todd Field, he was a Little Mavs. The way I got the patent and trademark stuff was Dan Chernoff was the dad of Scott Chernoff, who was a Little Mavs. So my whole life revolved around the fact that Bing Russell gave me a chance to stick around and find a way to stay with the ball club. I mean, I was there for three seasons. I won one game in 3 years.
Hey, if you're hungry and you want to work, there's always a place for somebody. I think that's actually a great thing for people to hear, especially right now. It's funny, you mentioned pieces all coming together, and it's really interesting to have you on today due to the fact that just 2 days ago, I bought the audio book of Ball 4, of Jim Bouton's book, you guys being teammates. He had to have been, from the stories that he's telling early on, and I think I got 16 hours left on this bad boy, but he's a pretty interesting character, is he not?
The Jim Bouton audible book is an absolute joy. The fact that Jim did that before he had his health issues was a credit to his wife, Paula Kermans. He said, Jim, you got to get this done. You never know what's going to happen. And he completed it, and then things went south for Jim. But he was an amazing guy, and it really comes through when he reads the book. The cool thing about Jim reading Ball 4 is he's not a professional reader. So when he's reading a funny story, he's laughing. it's really amazing. He was an incredible guy. One of my favorite stories about Jim was sitting in the bullpen, and because I wasn't that active as a player, I would always throw out wacky ideas. I mean, I was your typical left-hander. And one of the guys in the bully, might have been Dean Hinchliffe, said, you know, Nelly, your problem is you think about too many things that don't matter. And I remember Jim looking over and he said, how do you know?
Rob Nelson, the inventor of Big League Chew, is with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. And Rob, one thing you probably didn't realize at that moment, back in 1977 when you were talking to Jim Bouton, is the issues that would arise with chewing tobacco. I would have to imagine that not the demise, but the diminishment of the use of chewing tobacco, especially in Big League Baseball, has led to more people chewing Big League Chew.
You're absolutely right. You know, the government statistics say that tobacco in a pouch consumption has declined by almost 75% since Big League Chew came out. It's not just because of us, certainly. Ball players are more savvy. They know that tobacco is a performance debilitating drug, but we certainly move the needle along. In fact, the first conversation Jim and I had that related to what ended up being Big League Chew was when we were looking at teammates spitting and chewing in the bully. And Jim said, "Rob, did you ever chew tobacco?" I said, "Jim, I tried it for less than a minute. I can remember the player who gave it to me, the field I was at. I was in Johannesburg in South Africa, Danny Smith, University of Connecticut, Central Connecticut State. I remember it in great detail because it lasted less than a minute, and I couldn't throw batting practice that day. It made me so ill." Jim said, "I tried it once as well. It never made sense to me." And it was maybe an inning later when I said, "How about shredded bubblegum? We could look cool but not make ourselves ill." And that's what started everything.
So in 1980, in the first year of sales, about $18 million. That's what Big League Chew did. And that comes out to about $56 million in today's standards. What was the expectation? When they told you, okay, if this does really well, this is the number we're going to hit.
It was easily less than a third of that. I mean, to put that $18 million in perspective, the Cubs were sold the following year for just under $22 million. I remember calling my dad. My dad was a NYPD officer and just the most down-to-earth guy. But when I phoned my dad, I said, "Did you see the Cubs just got sold for $22 million? I think the Wrigley family replaced the Cubs with Big League Chew." Well, I mean, we couldn't believe it. We just couldn't believe it. So to answer your question, no, nobody had any idea. Like I said earlier, it was a three-year deal. Nobody thought the thing was going anywhere, but they thought it was cute.
Rob, we got a text here a minute ago from one of our listeners that says, "Please ask Rob about changing the cover and having a girl on the cover of the pouch. I coach girls fast pitch, and the kids all love that." What happened there? Why did you make that change?
Well, she's got her own flavor now. We came out with Slam and Strawberry.
Nice.
We tweaked the old formula, and it's really awesome. And truth be told, it was long overdue. I mean, I've run a kids' camp back on Long Island where I grew up for the last – this summer will be the 35th year. And I've had a handful of girls who play baseball. Softball's really not my game. But I did, when I would go to candy shows and give baseball clinics and so forth, hitting clinics – girls would come up and say, "You know, you really need a girl on the pouch." And finally, it was like, of course. And so we did it. And it just, it's worked out great. It's just really a whole lot of fun. And it's, you know, baseball and Big League Chew and softball, for that matter, it's about bubblegum fun. You know, a while back when it was the 25th anniversary, I got a great note from Cal Ripken who just said, "Nellie, you really bring fun to the ball yard. And it's really been a great thing that you've done." And it just made me feel so good that people got it. Even Tommy Lasorda, when I first met Mr. Lasorda a very long time ago, and I was introduced as the guy who came up with Big League Chew, and he was just so gracious. He said, "You know, son, you really helped the game. This is a very cool thing." And I thought, man, if I can get somebody like Tom Lasorda to get on board, I've got, like my dad said, lightning in a pouch.
What is the most popular flavor over the years? My guess is grape.
Grape is a close second, but original is number one.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, before we let you go, you just mentioned compliments from people like Lasorda and Ripken, partnership with the National Baseball Hall of Fame, New Balance with a line of shoes. So many people. Heck, you look in a big league dugout, any minor league dugout, any college or high school or little league dugout, and there is Big League Chew. So of all of the things that have happened over the course of these 43 years since the first thought, what's been the most fun and enjoyable and coolest for you?
The coolest thing for me is that, you know, my dad had a great line. He said, you know, when it would come up, because people would think I'm Phil Knight, that I'm like this bazillionaire. And my dad used to say that, you know, Rob, it's probably great to be rich and famous, but where you're at, to be comfortable and anonymous is a much better way to go. And except on Halloween night in Northeast Portland, when 300 kids are knocking on the door, some of them coming back twice in new costumes so they can get the grape and the original. That's what makes me the happiest, that
That's
it
cool.
really makes people smile. And my two brothers and I, we've been able to look after our parents. They're both gone now, but to be able to be a part of the family and maintain, I don't know, equanimity. I'm just grateful for the whole thing, but I love when people tell Big League Chew stories, whether it's a waitress or a bartender or somebody pumping gas. everybody seems to have a story, and that really makes me happy.
We have a texter into the show. It's a listener who has texted in, and they have said that grape was their favorite flavor, and it was so good they used to swallow it. So how does that make you feel, that the gum was so good? You're clearly not supposed to swallow gum, but this person was doing it anyway. It was so tasty.
I don't recommend that, but I am grateful for that. Nobody's ever said that before. That's really funny.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Rob, let's keep rolling in.
Yeah, listen to our show. Yeah,
you've been so entertaining, and your gum has been so good for America. And congratulations on 40 years. Here's to 40 more. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye now.
Rob Nelson, the founder of Big League Chew, and an entertaining guy on 101 ESPN.
I'm telling you, every bat bag that I had, the bottom of it always had sunflower seeds all over the place, and then there was a rolled-up pouch of Big League Chew in there all the time. That stuff was unreal. I know people were into the bubble tape for a little bit as well. Had nothing. Couldn't hold a candle to Big League Chew.
Honestly, that you can remember, the longest pouch of Big League Chew you ever had. How long did you last without going through it?
Well, you certainly never had it for two games, because if you had some Big League Chew, that means everybody's grubby little hands were in your Big League Chew as well.
Can't do that now.
No, definitely not now. Now you have an excuse to not share.
That was so 1990, you know? But it's a cool product. Great story about how it came to be and still thriving. I love it.
Next up, what's trending in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN?